You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
The White House is lying about it. We, surprise, not surprised the White House would lie. Definitely not surprised that legacy media would amplify the lie, because that's what they do. The state of Florida, they came out with an article saying the state of Florida has not ordered, its Department of Health has not ordered mRNA jabs for the babies. Yes, we didn't. We recommend against it. We are not going to have any programs where we're trying to jab six-month-old babies with mRNA. That's just the reality.
This is June the 28th, 2022. We are live streaming at rumble.com. Simply go to rumble.com, enter in the search engine, one word, Larry Connors, USA. It'll take you right to our page. You'll find our previous rumbles, and you see where you push for live. And join us in studio. And thank you for listening. Don't forget, you can also get this on a podcast at Larry Connors USA, LarryConnorsUSA.com, later today if you miss all of this or you want to share it with others. That was Ron DeSantis, the Florida governor. The Florida governor making it very clear, we are not going to order or allow anybody in our state to order that your babies get these vaccines for COVID. You know, the other day, a couple of the vaccines got approval for all the way down to 5 months or even less sometimes, depending. But the issue is, these are, again, experimental. I cannot stress that enough. Not one of these has gone through any extensive testing. They're still experimental. Do you want to give your kids experimental vaccines when really they're not at risk for COVID, that the numbers and the science say not necessary? We're going to break that down for you, because what we have, again, is an effort by the federal government trying to push forward that these kids have to be vaccinated. And, of course, then the administration trying to say, look at what they're doing in Florida. They're not going to let kids have them. No, that's not right. DeSantis said we're not going to allow them to be ordered to get them, and that parents must be ordered that their children get these vaccines. That's a far cry from saying they're not going to allow them. They're going to leave it to the parents and their physicians. But don't let the facts interfere with a good story. This is not science. This is politics. Political science, maybe. We have that tragedy involving illegal immigrants in Texas. At least 50, maybe more, maybe a few less, found dead in a tractor trailer rig. They'd been abandoned. They're locked up inside in the Texas heat. No water, no way to get out. Finally, somebody came by and heard someone, and they got to it and saved 6 to 8, maybe that many. The numbers are changing. And the initial response from the White House is, I swear to you, right here. I've got it here in front of me. White House press secretary telling reporters that President Joe Biden has been briefed on the summit over the incident as he travels to Spain for a NATO summit. And she said, the fact of the matter is the border is closed, which is in part why you have people trying to make this dangerous journey using smuggling networks. Our border's not closed, and they're doing it anyway. What if this had been on Trump's watch? Well, already you got Dems trying to blame Trump for it, just by that statement I read you. And the Dems are in big trouble going into the November election and beyond. 1 million Democrats switching voter registration GOP. Yet another major news anchor says Dems are the only one who can save our democracy. Right. And will Roe v. Wade really affect the coming November elections? And a suburb in a major city wants out. They wants out of that city because of crime. You might be surprised when you hear the name of that city and the suburb. You might also be surprised by a guy who says, you know, I'm thinking I'm going to have to run for president. I might have to run for president. He's not joking. If he runs, it'll be a joke. And then we got a Joe Biden voicemail to his son Hunter, which says Joe has been lying all along, which we knew, but you'll hear the voicemail. A lot to cover. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
I personally know at least three people who got sick from mold. It's not uncommon for homes, businesses to have a leak somewhere, and it doesn't take long for mold to start growing. Well, of course, I recommend Wellington Environmental. You don't want a company that's just going to clean up the water. Wellington has 34 years of experience. In fact, hospitals often have Wellington inspect and treat mold. Do what they do. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Call Wellington for a mold inspection, air testing, professional remediation. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rated with the Better Business Bureau. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner. Better. Safer. Be well with Wellington.
This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing. Covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality. Lowest prices. John Beal. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
At least 50 migrants were found dead inside an 18-wheeler in Texas. Tell me more about this, please, Ash.
Yeah, that number has changed. It was 46. It's now up to 50 after authorities in Mexico added their details to this. Again, abandoned truck on the outskirts of San Antonio, Texas. Authorities say 16 people, including four children, have also been taken to the hospital. The survivors were said to be hot to the touch and suffering from heat stroke and heat exhaustion. The truck had been abandoned by its driver. It had no working air conditioning, and there was no drinking water inside. Temperatures in the area hit 103 degrees. Someone heard a cry for help and called police, and this is how it was discovered.
That is a terrifying tragedy that has happened in the Texas area. And in fact, it's near San Antonio, as you heard, and the San Antonio Archdiocese is calling for unity after these migrants were found dead in a trailer. They are calling it the largest mass casualty event for that area. The Archdiocese, I should say the Archbishop of San Antonio, saying, we pray for the souls of those who died in such a cruel, inhuman manner, and keep in prayer the survivors. At last report, 14 adults, four children. And he said, we also pray for their families and all the first responders who assisted and saved lives, and how now they must carry the scenes, the memories of that carnage. He said, I urge all in the Archdiocese to unite in solidarity as these brothers and sisters are members of our family. These were illegals, and this is not the first time this has happened. These were illegals being smuggled into the U.S. inside a tractor-trailer rig. They either did not turn on the air conditioning for the trailer, treating it as a refrigerated unit for fear it might attract Border Patrol closer, because obviously they went through some kind of checkpoint and probably told everyone inside, be quiet. And if they'd had the motor running as a refrigeration unit, well, then they might have had to open it up and find illegals. These illegals paid who knows what to get inside a death trap. And then the truck either breaks down or the driver gets frightened, he leaves, and abandons them in the Texas heat. The outcry, I should say, the results are obvious. If not for someone just happening to go by where the truck was parked and hearing some faint cries and noises inside, they might have opened it up and found all of them dead. But there are at least reports of some still alive. The numbers have been changing, so it doesn't do much good for me to give it to you, but I will share it with you anyway. They're saying at this point, 14 adults and 4 children. But they're also saying 16 survivors, so that adds up to 18. Now, the story here is also, and you hate to make politics out of it. I hate to do it. I complain constantly when we see the Democrats do the same thing. Anytime there's anything that involves gun violence, they're basically standing on the coffins before the dead can be buried, crying out for gun control. When gun control laws would not have changed anything. In this case, it's certainly evident that if they were not trying to bring them across the border illegally, they would not have been in that situation. It's that simple. You don't have to argue the point. It's that simple. They would have been inside the trailer to cut across the border. Now, obviously, many in past cases have been simply coming across the border, brought, of course, by coyotes helping them get across and paying their money to get inside the country. But what you're not getting is the fact that this is one trailer that was found. If there's one, you know it's being duplicated numerous times. And we know from the past we have seen similar scenarios unfold where dead or dying are found inside a locked container of some type. But again, the Biden administration and Dems are quickly trying to turn the corner on the entire story. They want to, first of all, deny it their responsibility. You want to know how they do that? Well, let's look at it from the other perspective first. What if, and Larry Kudlow had a guest on, a Border Patrol, the president of the U.S. Customs and Border Patrol Agency, and basically asking the question that we all have, and his answer is exactly what we would expect.
Brandon, I've not heard anything yet from the left. What would have been the reaction of the left and everybody else if this had happened under President Trump?
Oh, they would have said that he's a monster. They would have said that everything that he's doing is wrong. They would have said that all of his policies are incorrect. But if you look at this, if you look at all of the evidence clearly shows that all of this falls directly on the shoulders of President Biden. When you look at the numbers of people that are crossing the border illegally today compared to any other president, and they're astronomical. When you look at the numbers of people that are being released into the United States, the numbers of people that are being rewarded for violating our laws, it's astronomical. And that is what is driving the current situation. And that is why we have these 50 people that unfortunately perished. It's disastrous. It's monstrous what is currently happening on the border.
Yeah, and if you thought they were making noise over Trump and separating mothers from babies and putting them in prison cages, which was a lie, they were using the same facilities Obama did, then you would understand quickly how fast the left will try to weaponize the deaths of these in that trailer. I don't think you're going to see them take a moment to grieve. I've yet to see a single Democrat come out and talk about how bad this was and that we need to stop and really, truly shut the border and say, you can't come across, and no sense trying this way either. But the White House statement is, as I said a moment ago, is almost surprising and a lie at the same time. The White House spokeswoman, speaking on behalf of the president, said, the fact of the matter is the border is closed, which is a lie, and then goes on to say that's in part why you see people trying to make this dangerous journey using smuggling networks. She does say it'll be investigated, and she does add, our prayers are with those who tragically lost their lives. Under Joe Biden, 1 million border crossers have been released into our country, and more are coming. And you've got these Democrats and pro-migration advocates quickly using this tragedy, again, to claim that this is why we need to redo all of our immigration laws. Not enough to have an open border. Let's just go ahead and make it fully open and legal. Beto O'Rourke, Democrat candidate for Texas governor, said this is devastating. We need urgent action. Dismantle human smuggling rings. I would agree with both of those points. And then he adds, and replace them with expanded avenues for legal migration that reflect our values and meet our country's needs. We have legal immigration. We have people in line to come in this country legally. And if it's something we need and a service they can provide, be it either manual labor or some technical aspect, we do bring them in. Canada has a basic rule like that. Unless you can contribute, we're not really going to allow you to migrate to Canada. Then you get a Democrat from Illinois, Mexican-born Congressman Chuy Garcia. This is a horrific. We need to end Title 42 and fix our broken immigration system so these unimaginable tragedies stop. People fleeing violence and poverty deserve a chance at a better life. They are again weaponizing a tragedy. Trump had nothing to do with this. He's not even in office. But because the open border policy, which Biden initiated and wants to continue, is encouraging more and more to come across illegally. Some are paying and showing up simply at checkpoints. Some are fearful they might be stopped or turned back, so they're trying other ways. And then, of course, we have illegals from 150 different countries, 150 different countries, including some in the Middle East, that have been caught trying to cross the border. We have no idea how many have gotten away. The getaways could be almost at least 30% of those we've allowed into the country. And then put them on a bus or plane and sent them deeper into the interior. And all I see coming back from all of these leftists is the fact that if we would simply set up a legitimate immigration system, which we have, then it would be better. And you know why Democrats want them in. That is, they're looking at the votes. Congressman Kevin McCarthy, California, says really Biden is doing everything he can going into November elections and beyond, trying to avoid the border and anything else that might reflect badly on him.
Biden doesn't want to talk about gas prices. He doesn't want to talk about 4th of July. It's going to cost you 17% more, according to the Farm Bureau. He was touting last year, remember, I saved you 2 cents or something. Can't say it. He doesn't want people to talk about what's happening at the border, because now every community is a border community. The number one killer of Americans between the ages of 18 and 45 is fentanyl.
Yeah,
and
right.
That's a direct correlation right. to what's happened at this border.
A direct correlation. And also, a California sheriff is infuriated because two men that they arrested possessing 150,000 fentanyl pills were released without his knowledge in California. Somebody said, oh, set them free. It's California. We're not going to hold them for carrying fentanyl pills. 150,000? Those sugar packs I've said before that you see on dining tables and restaurants and so forth, you fill one of those with that much fentanyl that you can pour out of that pack, that's enough in there to kill thousands, tens of thousands possibly. And they just set them free? Democrats don't want to talk about law and order either, because obviously they're failing at that point. And Kevin McCarthy again said all of this is showing a reason why more and more are turning to the Republican Party.
New data just came out today that 1.7 million people have changed party registration. Mm-hmm. Two-thirds of those switched to Republican. Mm-hmm. And then a real canary in the coal mine for the Democrats is Myra Flores' election. Mm-hmm. The second most Hispanic seat in the entire nation, 84% Hispanic. Biden won it by 13 points just in a year and a half ago. Republicans haven't held the seat in more than a century. It was elected in the primary, not the general. She's the first Mexican-born woman ever to serve in Congress.
And she's serving as a Republican. And, of course, we have those on the left saying that when it comes to November, any elections going forward, there's only one party you should be voting for. One major cable news anchor says, it's important.
Larry Connors, USA.
It could be argued that today's Democrats are too weak, too fragile, too woke, too elitist, too disconnected from the realities of working Americans. And yet, the Democratic Party is the world's last best hope against fascism.
I'm sorry. That's Mika Brzezinski on Morning Joe. Her husband, Joe, is her co-anchor, and she said, it could be argued that the Democrats are too frail, too weak, too woke. And yet, despite all of that, we are still the party that can save you from fascism. Yeah, it's funny, and yet it's not. They continue to push that we can save the country. And you're destroying the country. I told you 1 million illegals in the country this year. 2 million last year. Now this truckload of dead illegals found near San Antonio, and the Dems and the White House are all trying to put it on Trump, saying if it weren't for these wrongful immigration laws we have, they wouldn't try this. Governor Abbott of Texas said, the deaths are on Biden. They are a result of his deadly open border policies. Senator Marsha Blackburn, Republican of Tennessee, tagged Biden's policy of welcoming migrants, saying many millions or more poor and ill-educated want to move to the U.S. Many see Biden's pro-immigration chief, Cuban-born Alejandro Mayorkas, working with cartels to open more pathways. The Democrats are using illegal immigration to get illegals into the country, not just to benefit the illegals' family, those who truly want to have a better life, but they're trying to get them in thinking, well, they'll vote for us. You just heard before we went to break how the numbers are shifting even on the Rio Grande Valley. And when you have a Latino woman running as a Republican congressional candidate and she wins a state that Joe Biden won, I mean, wins that district that Joe Biden carried by big numbers, 17, 18, 20%, that tells you everything is shifting. And then you got this nonsense from Mika Brzezinski begging everybody, oh, you gotta rely on us. We're the only ones who can possibly save you. Well, let me give you another quote. This one comes from South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem. And if you're familiar with the Seinfeld episodes, you know you've got Seinfeld, Jerry Seinfeld on there, and you got Kramer, and then you had this character, George Costanza, a total mess, even more so than Kramer. And Kristi Noem, the governor of South Dakota, said, Joe Biden's like the George Costanza of politics. Every single instinct he has is wrong. It's just incredible to me how he has completely made the wrong decision on every single issue. The midterms can't come quick enough to put some kind of a break on this agenda. It's radical. It's leftist. Its goal is to remake the U.S. of A. The only chance we had to stop them is a very successful midterm election, win back the House and cripple the Senate, get back in control of there, and then cripple the entire administration. And we better do it, folks. We better do it. Because they are going to continue right up until the day the newly elected candidates in November would be taking their oath of office. The Democrats now controlling the House and the Senate. They will try to pack the court. They'll try anything and everything they can. Don't think the battle's over. But, of course, they can't really run on anything Biden's done. Nothing he's done has worked out for the American public. If you're an illegal wanting to come in the country, that also isn't going very well looking at this case that happened today, as tragic as it is. And then, of course, they're going to pin a lot of hope on the Roe v. Wade decision the other day. Is that really going to matter? And we come back, once again, President Joe Biden says, you got to blame Trump. Stand by.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Ackerman Toyota believes when you need service, you want genuine parts, certified mechanics, no hidden cost. You get all of that with Ackerman Toyota. Plus, if you're ready for a new car or pre-owned, see what Ackerman has on the lot or what's coming. Ackerman Toyota, Hampton and Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
And they say you don't tug on Superman's cape. You don't spit into the wind. You don't pull a mask off an old Lone Ranger. And you don't mess around with Jim. I don't do that.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
It was three justices named by one president, Donald Trump, who were the core of today's decision to upend the scales of justice and eliminate a fundamental right for women in this country. This decision is a culmination of a deliberate effort over decades to upset the balance of our law.
Of course, those are the words of President Biden the other day when the Supreme Court ruled that Roe v. Wade was no longer going to be law of the land. It never should have been. There's nothing in the U.S. Constitution that has anything to do with abortion. Not one place can you find the word even mentioned in the U.S. Constitution. In 73, when Roe v. Wade got through the Supreme Court, they did it by mucking the Constitution up and trying to say, well, we'll put it under right of privacy and we'll try to cobble together something, which they did. and therefore it was declared, it is now the law of the land. Prior to that time, abortions were considered illegal, criminal. And of course, you have many out there on the left saying, well, we're going to go back to those days when women's health is in danger. They're not taking into account, obviously, the young women that might be born if they were not aborted. They just tend to ignore that entirely. Even if the woman is having an abortion, not because her health is endangered, which, by the way, many of the states, when they say they are not going to allow abortions, they do include allowances for if the woman's health is in danger. They don't for rape and incest in some cases, but that's going to be battled out in various state legislatures as they move forward, where it should be. It should be with each state and their representatives to decide how we're going to handle it. And yes, we're going to have a patchwork of laws. We have a patchwork of laws anyway across the states on so many different things, including concealed carry, until the Supreme Court made that ruling the other day, based on New York case, saying you do not have to say any reason as to why you want to carry. You have that right under the Second Amendment. But then we have numerous other laws that maybe in one state you can do this and you would be in violation of a code that they have set, but you can do the same thing in another state and yep, it's okay. So a patchwork, quilt work for the states on different laws is not that rare. It's just that this one involves the hottest topic that the Democrats think they can make good ground on. And so when you had Joe Biden saying he's taken away the hope and it's the despair and it's a dark day and all the things that we've heard from the Democrats out of the Roe v. Wade decision the other day, Senator Tim Scott, Republican of South Carolina, I should say Tim Collins, who made these remarks about Biden and what he had to say.
Fear-mongering is really what President Biden just talked about. He's fear-mongering. The truth is, I am so thankful that over the last 3 or 4 years, we were able to put 300 federal judges on the bench and three conservative Supreme Court justices. This is the firewall that America needs. I am thankful that I was a part of making that happen. We should all celebrate those who are originalists, those who read the text, the textualists, who understand and appreciate. If it isn't in there, don't pretend that it is.
Yeah, don't pretend that it is. And I said to Senator Tim Scott, and I was correct, then I, for some reason, decided to, I don't know, blinker on, blinker off, blinker on, blinker off, and I went to Collins. That's wrong. It's Senator Tim Scott, Republican of South Carolina. So put that down in my column of mistakes. It's a long column. Good luck with that. But his remarks are right on target. He said it's fear-mongering, and they're trying to make you believe that that action and all those who support it are just vile, nasty, nasty people. Congressman Kevin McCarthy, south of California, Congressman McCarthy of California, was asked about by Larry Kudlow, how do you think Roe is really going to affect the upcoming elections? I want you to hear this in its entirety.
Will it give greater intensity for some Democrats to turn out who weren't before? Yes. Will it play maybe into a governor's race? It very well could. Would it play in certain cities? But is New York and California going to be different? Mm. No. And the thing that's going to happen here is America's going to see how radical the Democrats are when it comes to abortion. They want to go up to the moment of birth. America's not there. America doesn't believe in this. And for every performer who says he's going to leave America and go to Europe, he's going to get a wake-up call. Because in Europe, they don't allow an abortion after 13 or 15 weeks. Remember, there are only 7 countries in the world that are so radical that allow you to have abortion up to birth. And 3 of those are America, China, and North Korea.
Mm. That says everything, doesn't it? I'm looking at a piece appearing in the Federalist pointing out that a CBS polling found that only 17% of Americans, only 17% agree with such an extreme stance. It is going to be a hotly debated topic. I think Congressman McCarthy is right. It may affect in some states, in some elections, the November election, but in others, it's nothing to be decided. The public's already made up its mind. Congresswoman AOC, the knowledge of every liberal that's out there, says we have an issue going on right now anyway. She's responding to a piece that appeared in a New Republic column the other day that said the Democrats change things and are reactive, but only when the GOP, in their opinion, screws up. That the Democrats, despite Mika Brzezinski saying we're the only ones who could save democracy, this New Republic column the other day said the Democrats are the ones who could screw things up worse. And AOC basically agrees, yeah, that's pretty much where the Democrat Party is.
It does speak to a generational change within the Democratic Party. You know, I believe that there are, you know, there is an establishment within the Democratic Party that has a nostalgia for a better time of politics from decades ago. You hear this very often when you hear certain Democrats say that they wished for a strong Republican Party. Mm-hmm. But the fact of the matter is that we have a new and very different Republican Party that more people are recognizing. But frankly, the roots of which have already been there, which is a lack of respect for American institutions, a lack of respect for the law, and a deep desire to debase very, very critical underpinnings of our democracy. And so I do believe that there has been a weak Democratic strategy in the past, and we cannot continue to use those same playbooks. Right now, as I say, is that this is overtime for our democracy, and we must be aggressive.
I cannot believe she could sit there with a straight face and say Republicans are responsible for lawlessness and wanting more crime and breaking laws and breaking our democracy and is not recognizable compared to the past republic. Do you know and understand that Clinton would not be allowed in this current Democrat Party? The Kennedys would not be allowed? They wouldn't be part of this. That's how woke and off-center the Democrats have gotten. So when the New Republic article said that the Democrat change is reactive only when the GOP screws up, and AOC says, yeah, it's pretty clear that we're not the party we should be. We need to be more aggressive. Because after all, the Republicans are the danger to our democracy.
The fact of the matter is that we have a new and very different Republican Party that more people are recognizing. But frankly, the roots of which have already been there, which is a lack of respect for American institutions, a lack of respect for the law, and a deep desire to debase very, very critical underpinnings of our democracy.
I want you to hear that section again. The Republicans are the ones that are disrespectful of the law. They want to undermine the foundations or underpinnings, as she describes it, of our democracy. Who's calling to pack the court? Who's calling to get rid of the Electoral College? Who's calling for anything that will make things easier for them to win elections? The Democrats. Conservatives, Republicans say, let's just have fair elections. Can we do that? And who's calling for defunding police and increasing the crime across the nation? That would be, let me see, it starts with a D, Democrats. Well, we've got in one blue city, a major suburb saying we want out of this city because of what the Democrats are doing regarding crime. Stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
The other day, some listeners saw me in Cafe Napoli, and one said, "We see you here all the time." I said, "Yes, you do. I am the Cafe Napoli ambassador." Truth is, I've been a Napoli customer for decades, when there was only the Clayton location, then Town and Country, now St. Charles. Trust me, you'll enjoy great food, drinks, service. Cafe Napoli, Clayton, Town and Country, Streets of St. Charles. And tell them the Cafe Napoli ambassador sent you.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Violent crimes are on the increase all across the nation, but six of America's major cities are set to outpace what we saw in 2021. Baltimore, Los Angeles, Philadelphia, Washington, D.C., Atlanta, and New York City, all on pace to break their 2021 levels of violent crime, and we're only halfway through the year. And each one of them is a blue city. New York City, a 26% jump in violent crime at this point compared to the same time last year. Violent crime, typically considered homicide, rape, assault, robbery. Atlanta's one of the cities I just mentioned for you. They saw a 30-year record in homicides last year, and already they are seeing 43% more homicides in Atlanta this time this year compared to this time last year. The Atlanta Police Department meeting with several agencies earlier in the year trying to figure out what we could do to keep the community safe. A lot of folks are just saying probably the best thing for me is just get the hell out of Dodge. Or actually, Dodge might be a lot safer than Atlanta. The police department noted many of our arrestees are repeat offenders. No kidding. There were 155 arrests and 30 convictions they could pin on just four of the suspects they arrested. Four suspects arrested. And between those four, there were 155 prior arrests and 30 convictions. What the hell are they doing on the street? Because you've got these liberal George Soros prosecutors saying, just open up the cells. We don't need prisons. We don't need jail cells. And so we certainly don't need to have bonds imposed. Someone sent me something the other day and said, you know, if you know by defunding police and not putting on tough bail bonds, you're going to increase crime, if you know that's going to be the result and you go ahead and do it, then that's really what you wanted to see happen, isn't it? In other words, the listener was suggesting that Democrats want all this to happen. They want us to live in fear. They want to, if you know you shut down a baby formula plant that makes 40% of the baby formula in your country, you know within a matter of months you're going to have a crisis in baby food formula. You shut down your oil and energy production in your own nation, you know you're going to have higher prices. It's all what they want, and they're delivering what they want by making you suffer. We're going to make you suffer. You ever been to Buckhead in Atlanta? Here's how the way they describe Buckhead. Stylish, upscale malls, independent art galleries around Miami Circle and Bennett Street, cheeky dressed locals frequent trendy restaurants along Peachtree Road, hanging out lively bars and clubs. Buckhead. Did have a Ritz-Carlton there. They moved out some time ago. I'm not going to blame it on crime, but I wouldn't be surprised if that's what it came down to. But the CEO of the Buckhead City Committee is now saying, we feel like we're living in a war zone. I don't say that lightly, given what you experience in a war zone. But we have murder and mayhem. We're dealing with a mayor who voted to defund the police. Talking about the Atlanta mayor. Fox News tracking shows that rape is up 80% as of June 18 in Buckhead. Just Buckhead. Burglary's up 26%. Robbery's up 8%. The CEO of the Buckhead City Committee said we're short 180 police officers. What are we supposed to do? We're going to pay them. We're going to give them a take-home car. We're welcoming them. We're trying to honor them every day, make up for this dumbest move of the century, defund the police. That's taken a place like Buckhead, that was a happy, good place to live, into a war zone. And if you need more immediate impact, Chaka Zulu, you may not know him. I didn't really know him, but I'm looking at who he is. He's an Atlanta music exec in Atlanta. He's a manager of Ludacris. He was in Buckhead last night. I guess he's at one of those trendy little places. Let me see where he was. Oh, he's in a Buckhead parking lot. He's just in a parking lot last night. And somebody starts a shooting. They kill one man. Sent two others, including Chaka Zulu, to a hospital. They're still investigating what happened, where it started, but several restaurants share the same parking lot. Welcome to Buckhead. Or not. Coming up, how the state of Florida is protesting against COVID vaccines for babies. And where is the science? There is none. Stand by.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.